there's going to be a verse on the screen. It's going to be Daniel 10:12. And here's, we're in a series we started last week called Daniel. And I'm not going to take a lot of time today. But it's amazing because the book of Daniel just, I'm going to encourage you this. We got to be people of the word. There's no other way. If the only time you get into the word or hear from the Lord or be challenged is from me, you, number one, it's not enough, and two, you're missing out to what God has for you. You have got to, we have got to be people who responds, who takes the next steps, who to hear for the Lord for yourself. And so the verse says this. It says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you have set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." And it's amazing because it's not just talking to Daniel, he's always talking to us, is do not be afraid and insert your name there. Don't, do not be afraid. And I have come, and he's just saying, you have been heard. And I believe it's amazing because with all my heart, I believe real life begins not on your possessions or your things, but it begins on the inside. That God does a transformation of your heart. And if it's not more than anything else in Daniel, I want to hear me out in this. Listen, 2018 was a struggle for a lot of people. And still, some of you are still going through things. There's trials and there's hardships and there's hard things going on. There's loss and there's different things. Sometimes there's wins too, but there's just hard things. But can I tell you this? It's not about what just happens to you. It's more important what happens in you. And this is what Daniel's trying to teach us, is that hardships are going to happen and things are going to push us and things are going to try to shape us. But it's not what happens to us. It's what happens, what is God doing in us? What is God doing in our life? And so let's just pray this morning for God to just, so we can respond to him, respond to what he's doing in our lives. Lord, we just pray right now. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, you're a God who continues to save lives. You're a God who continues, but Lord, us. What I just pray, Lord, that we, Lord, change, that we remove, that we take away things that are not of you so we may find you in a new way. Lord, I just pray, Lord, help us to take a next step with you. Soften our hearts so we can hear from you today. Lord, for those who are pushing away, those who are pushing you away, I pray in Jesus' name that you're inviting, you're at the door and you're knocking. And I just pray, open up our hearts to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you, before you sit down, if you can turn around to somebody and say, let's play hockey, and that'd be great. Which is fun because I can't even skate. I'm not going to take tons of time here, but I really believe we do it injustice if I don't tell you last week, just kind of, and this is what takes time with when you study Daniel. If you're taking notes, please help me out here, but I got to give you a brief history because this will make more sense. But so Judah was overtaken and by Babylon. Babylon became this power over and took over the Israelites. And so the question we've been raising last week, we'll raise every week, next few weeks, is saying, how do you live in exile? Because Babylon took over Judah, took over Israel. When King Josiah dies, they came in and they started pillaging and taking everybody. And they took the Israelites as slaves and put them in Babylon. So here are these people who are literally living in exile. These people who are called by God, living in a place that they're not from, living as slaves. They don't know where their teenagers are at. And here's what begins to happen. And so they live in this pain. They live in this where they're not welcome. They don't belong. And so the question arises with us is, I want us to think about is, how do we live in situations where we don't belong? How do we live in situations that's hard? How do we live in situations that we don't see the hope right away? How do we live in these, like, how do we make it through? And so here's some brief history about the book of Daniel. The first six chapters of Daniel is more a narrative. It's like a biography of Daniel. It's almost like what's cool about this, so it's six chapters that goes from his teenage years and like 15 all the way up to like turns 85 years old or young. How about that sounds? And so he's literally, this whole narrative is six first chapters of that. And then the last chapters is like this is more about this prophecy, which we'll dive into too. But this is happening 600 years before Christ arrives. So this is where it's happening. And what begins to happen is when Babylon takes it over, they end up having three deportations out of Israel. And this is the part you got to catch. So when Babylon takes over, it's typical in those nations in that day and age. This is a typical thing. When you conquer a nation, you take those people as slaves. You take those people as, and you try to change them, and you try to put them in their culture. You try to change them. And so this is a normal practice that's happening. So Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar is this very evil power that is rising, and they're taking over. And then they go into, and so they decided to take a deportation of people out of Judah, Israel, slowly, not right away. So the first time it happens, they take a guy named Daniel and his friends, and they take him out, and they make him, and they train him in different things in Babylon. So they force them from their families, force them from their homes, force them as teenagers to live in Babylon. And that's in the first wave. The next wave is they decide to go back again, and they take more people, people who are higher up in the kingdom, people who are nobles, people who are smart. But they also take a guy named Ezekiel, which is crazy because Ezekiel was a prophet in that day, and he's where we get the Ezekiel, the book from, and he was taken out, and he becomes pretty much a slave, you know what I'm saying, in Babylon. So as he's writing scripture, a lot of it is actually written during that time in exile, which is really interesting, and that's where we get a lot of these passages. And then in the third wave, they decide, we are done doing this. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, we're done doing this. We're going to go destroy. They go destroy the city, pillage everything. And they said, we're not going to take everybody. We're going to take everything valuable. And we're going to leave the poorest of the poor to live and take care of the land. And so they left these poor people in Judah. They just left them there to take care of the land. They brought everybody else. And they left the poor people, including a prophet named Jeremiah. And this is what happened last week. If you weren't here, most people quote scripture. If I ask you some of the most favorite scriptures, some of you say Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I have the plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But Jeremiah wrote that to the Israelites that were in exile in Babylon because the irreligious people were telling them, don't worry, we're not going to stay here. And Jeremiah chapter 29, just read it, was saying, make it your home. Don't conform to it, but build a family. Because make, you're still a nation, even though you're in exile. And it's a crazy thing. He didn't say no harm. I mean, when he says no harm, he says, God still has plans. Pretty much what he's saying is saying, I don't want you to just survive in Babylon. I want you to thrive. Because I have a call upon your life. And so that's fast forward to listen right now. And so I just want to catch you up here. And it's interesting because then we get to Daniel. And this week and next week, we're going to still stay in chapter 1. And here's what begins to happen. If you can open up your Bibles, Daniel chapter 1. 1 through 7 is literally talking about Daniel and his friends coming over. And all of a sudden, in the midst of it, they're doing all these things. They're training all this kind of, they're taking the teenagers. And then around verse 6 and 7, the king Nebuchadnezzar, once they take prisoners and slaves captives, and this is for next week, so please come next week because this is going to be pretty heavy. What they do is they change their names. And I'm telling you, they change Daniel and his friends' name from a Jewish, from an Israelite name, to a, from a Hebrew name, to a Babylonian pagan name. Because I'm here to tell you, just next week, is because if the evil one can change your identity, he can change a lot of things. And that's for next week. But I just want to go to the next verse. It says that the names were changed, and then I love this. After they changed their names, Daniel, a teenager, verse 8, says this. He says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. In other translations, it says this, Daniel proposed in his heart. And he made it over a few times in the book of Daniel. It says that Daniel resolved. Daniel decided, saying, listen, this is the decision that is being made. Can I just be honest with you? I didn't tell Paulkes what's going to happen, but the song I Have Decided and what he said, this is perfect. In dictionary, it says this: the word resolved means a firm determination to do something. Determination or a resolution to decide firmly on a course of action, to determine to decide, and I love this, to be resolute. Now listen, I believe the word resolution, because we're around January, becomes a little foggy because everybody makes resolutions that they don't keep. But when you heard the word resolute and resolve, those are things that are like anchors that saying, listen, this is a decision that we're making today. Resolute, the word itself means to be purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Isn't that awesome? To be unwavering. That doesn't mean you're not questioning. You're saying resolute, where is actually that resolution word. And I want to read this. It says, the king was determined to influence them according to the pagan practices by changing their name, but he spared no expense to do so. Daniel was resolved to stay committed to God. Even in the midst of opportunity to do otherwise, Daniel made a thoughtful decision. He was resolute. He made up his mind. He came to the decision in his heart. He determined in his heart that he was not going to compromise his faith, and it revealed through the word. And so he pre-decided, and he made a decision. He says, I will pre-decide right now. When things come my way, I'm going to decide right now. I'm making pre-decisions not to waver in this direction. Make some pre-decisions. Make some good decisions. So deciding before the dilemma. This is what, as we move in this year, can I be honest with you? You, me, we need to be better at making some pre-decisions. That way, when temptation comes, questions come, integrity issues come, our faith begins to stagger, that we made a decision on this day, on Sunday in January, not to waver in our faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because I believe the enemy wants to come and push, to kill, to destroy, to bring up waves, to do these things. And he just says, listen, you got to hold the anchor down with what God says. You need to begin to know where you stand before the decision comes. You have got to make the decision, because we will be tempted. You will look at things and say, is this healthy for me? Is this not healthy? My friends want me to do this. I don't know if I should do this. And you would have to decide, is this a course of action? So before you are offered a look at something, you need to make a decision today, then I will not look at that. Before you are offered a taste of something that you shouldn't be tasting, you're saying, I decide today I'm not going to taste that. Before you are offered a glimpse or a touch or a purchase of temptation, you said, I decided on Sunday, I decided before, I'm not going down that road. I am not going to be this person. I'm not going to be wavered. I'm going to be resolute today. I'm going to resolve in my heart like Daniel and saying, I'm making a decision today to do this. I'm going to stick with this, and this is what God's coming to do. I will say, this is the day you pre-decide who you're going to be. It's interesting because when working through so many years through different churches, affairs happen and relationships happen. People cheat. And one of the things we realize is this: that doesn't just happen sporadically. That happens in the mind first. And then it happens through conversations, and it happens these ways. And you allow wedges into your relationship with your spouse. You allow these certain things in, and there's this thing going on, and then we allow the sin nature to come in, and we allow these temptations in. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that we got to say, even before the thoughts come into the mind saying, I'm going to decide today not to sit on these thoughts anymore. I'm going to decide today not to let this thing come into my heart. I'm going to decide today not to park it here. And what I love about this is Daniel made up his mind before he even knew how the story ended. This is my favorite part. My favorite thing about this, he didn't say this, and we'll get into this, but he didn't say this You know what I'm saying? After he went through the fiery furnace, he didn't say this. After he went through the, you know what I'm saying, the lions, he didn't say this after this. He said this before he went through his trials, and he said this: I am resolved. I am committed. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to be resolute this year. I'm not going to just make resolutions that flutter and go. I'm going to be resolute in my faith starting today, not just this year, for my life. I'm going to be resolute this year. I'm going to be resolute in my faith. And so he says, not just what I'm going to do, but Lord, I'm going to be resolute in who I'm going to become in my character. So he says, I resolved in my faith. And here's my challenge for us this morning. We can either be resolved or we can be reluctant. And reluctant is wavering. If you look up the word in the dictionary, it means to be uncommitted. It means to just kind of go with it, to be see what happens. It means just kind of be wavering. And what the Lord is saying, listen, resolve means I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to stick to this. And I'm telling you, can I just be honest with you? What this new generation needs are people to grow up and say, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to be committed to what God has called me to be committed to. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to be strong. It's interesting because this is going to happen. I'm not a prophet, so I'm not going to say it. But here's a prophecy I'm going to tell you. You want me to tell you what's going to happen in your year? Here it is. Tough times are going to come. Anybody have an amen for that? And I don't know what they are. I don't know what comes your way. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know this. But look at this past year. Tough times have come. And the question is not whether tough times are come or not. The question is, will you be resolute and resolved in your faith, or will you be reluctant? And when push comes to shove, you will literally walk away in faith and you won't trust the Lord. It's interesting because predecide today who I will become. Daniel made this predecision in the first 8 verses of Daniel. Before the rest of the story, before all the trials, before the fire, before the furnace, before the lions, predecide. Dan and Brandon, you guys can come up here. Predecide today to take up your cross and follow him. And I also believe, I love what Bill said. It says, we just got to follow Jesus. But I can tell you this. I love what Paul says. And he says, daily, not just today. He says, daily I die to myself that I may live in Christ. Daily. It's a daily decision. Because you know what? Right now, you may feel like it. But when that trial comes and something happens, you're just like, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like this is the right, you know what I'm saying? I just don't feel it. And this is what I've been challenging everybody, saying, listen, when trials come, you may not feel like, but God is saying, that's when you got to trust. That's when you got to hold on. That's when you got to trust the Lord. This is when you got to trust what God has for us. And it says, I decide today in the future to follow him. I will decide today to trust God. I will decide today, listen, even as a dad, I'm gonna decide today to do whatever I can to keep on loving my wife the way God has created me to love my wife. I am deciding, not just today, but future, to be the dad to my kids that God has created me to be. I'm going to be the person, I'm going to be the pastor, I'm going to be the person at your work. Think about it. I'm going to decide to bring Jesus to my workplace the way he has created you to be. I'm going to decide today to lift up that banner higher than last year. I'm going to decide today not to cower away when somebody asks me about my faith, but I'm going to decide today to stand strong. I'm going to decide today to live like Joshua, who says, I'm not going to tiptoe around on my tiptoes, but I'm going to stand like Joshua on the soles of my feet and say, Lord, wherever you planted me, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to stick to it. And for some of you, you're going to say, like Esther, God, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But this is what you've called me to do. And this is where I believe we can't be reluctant and just wavering. God says you got to be resolved today, committed, and say, listen, even when you don't feel like it, God is good. He's in control. You pre-decided, I'm going to commit to him. Not just this year, but forever. And so when the fiery furnace is turned up higher, and all of a sudden you can hear the roars of the lions coming at you, you would decided, you know what? Daniel 1:8. I've already made a resolve that I'm going to stay the course. This is where I'm going. This is a decision I've made today. This is where I'm headed. And I believe this is where it comes to. The deep down inside, we have to make those decisions. I love it. One of my authors, his name is Mark Batterson. He says it this way. He says, you are one decision away from totally living a different life. One decision. You are one decision away from being who in that area. And I'm going to tell you this, to speak it differently, you are one decision away from going in a direction that God has not called you to come. You're one decision away from starting to make mistakes and losing your marriage and start losing your faith and walking away. But you're also one decision from finding the cross. You're one decision away from meeting Jesus. You're one decision away from surrendering it and finding the Lord. And I believe this is the gospel that, listen, the hope of it is that it's the hope of Jesus Christ. There's no other way around it. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Is there going to be trials? Yes. But you got to decide, I'm going to be resolute. I'm going to be resolved. And listen, it's not just a resolution. It's a decision. I love it, says in Scripture. I'm telling you, all parents, all leaders in their family, I love this. And it says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that. That's a resolution. That is literally a declaration. That is a resolve from a person, Lord, saying, our house will be a house that will serve the Lord. We'll lift him up. Praise him. Everybody stand up this morning. I'm telling you, I believe there's people here today that you listen to Bill and you listen to me, and I'm telling you, there's people here today. You heard me say they're going to make a decision. I'm telling you, you're one decision away, and some of you, you might have raised your hand before. You made it, maybe you've stepped in, but really in your own heart, you really, truly never surrendered to the Lord, and I'm telling you, this is a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. Somebody bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. If you're here today and you're saying, Jarvis, I got to make that decision. I need to surrender to the Lord. I need to make him Lord of my life. And today's that day that it's been about me. And I need to follow him. I need to follow him this morning. I'm going to look around, but if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and just look at me if you can. Raise them up really high. I see that. I see that. See that. See that. It's awesome. Love that. Love that. Love that. Keep your eyes closed. Can you keep your hands up? I have some prayer people around here. Some people have badges on their prayer people. If you're some of my prayer people, can you look at those hands that are in the air? I just want you to respond to those if you can. Staff members, if you can, respond to those. Listen, everybody look up here. Look at me. I just want to share this. We have a moment. Jesus died on a cross for little boys named Sam, and Jesus died on a cross for you and me. Just love it that God just wants to change hearts. God loves you more than we can ever imagine. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for every hand. Lord, I just pray in response to the things that you're doing as we pray. Lord, this morning, it is your presence and it is your glory. We respond to you. Lord, yet it says the scripture that you first loved us. Lord, that you gave your life to us. And Lord, we respond to you. Lord, as people in this room have raised their hands, Lord, it's not a finishing point, it's a starting point of something new. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we begin to pray and as we begin to dive into you, I pray the chains are falling off. I pray the chains are removed. Everybody repeat after me, dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I give you my life. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you're praying, keep on praying. We have Bibles for you. We have books for you. Those who are praying with you want to connect with you. But let's just worship this morning. And we always open up our altars. If you need prayer this morning or just want to come down and worship, let's do that. But let's just end this morning. We're no need to rush. And let's just spend time in the Lord's presence together this morning. And